look at how funky he is.
I can never be that funky. I love her so much. She's so
anybody
cute.
Can be that funky. Like, my mom could be that funky, you know? It's like, that's a low level of funk.
Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide, Disco Citizens, the podcast where gorehounds
and best friends Terry Gamble
and Julia Marchesi break down a different horror movie each week,
exploring a multitude of genres, subgenres,
and sub-subgenres,
classic and cult,
international
and underground flicks alike, determining which films are the goriest,
and offering up horror movie survival guide tips
to help you stay alive.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Survival Guide. I'm Terry, and I have my lovely, talented co-host.
I'm Julia. Hello. We are, for your spooky, spooky October delights, doing a versus episode. We have Teen Wolf versus Teen Witch, which we are very excited to do. We haven't done either one, and these are, you know, big childhood movies.
Because we got a really done top that. Okay, so really, I think it came out of that. Because I'm obsessed with topping that. Julia's like, yep, you do. You love to top it.
I mean, one of the most iconic moments in cinema history, one would argue. So let's do some. So Teen Wolf was released in 1985. And the tagline is, "He always wanted to be special, but he never expected this." It was written by Jeff Loeb, Matthew Wassman, and directed by Rod Daniel. So we watched this together, and we were both, so this was a movie that I really, was really, really fun. I remember it being very popular when it came out. I rented it
so much. Yeah.
So one of my very favorite things about my mother kills, Halloween costumes. I don't know if you guys know this, but like last year she was a girl who walks home alone at night. Like that was her, a girl walks home alone at night. She was that for Halloween. She's been the girl.
She goes hard. She goes epic is what she does. She has the most epic costume. She's been kick-ass. So yeah. She's this costume.
Girl. She was
Hit Girl from Kick-Ass. Yeah. She's amazing. I love you so much, Miss Marchesi. I'm obsessed with you. You're one of my favorite people on the planet. You also made one of my favorite people on the planet. So Aww. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
But holy crap. This outfit. Julia showed us a picture of this. We might have to throw this on for the Patreon.
We will.
This fucking hilarious, so good. You have to tell the people.
Yes, my mom dressed as Teen Wolf, and the pictures that we have that we'll show you, she's so happy. She's so proud of herself. And she says one of her favorite Halloween moments is she was driving to a Halloween party as Teen Wolf and looked over at a stoplight, and Dracula was in the car next to her driving. And she was like, there you go. And that's what I love about Halloween. Those little tiny moments of really absurdly dressed people doing very normal things.
Mundane.
I love going to diners on Halloween and just watching people eat in their crazy fucking costumes. Like, let's conventions as well. It's like, it's so good for that.
Yeah. Give us the Comic-Con style life. It's so fun. I think the other thing that floored us watching this movie, Julia, just thinking about it, the soundtrack is bonkers. Like,
I am not a fan of this soundtrack. There's some of the songs in it are okay, but the score is...
The soundscape is unnerving, and I did not remember anything about that. But also, like, it just shows you the production value of how movies are scored now, and the soundscape is so vastly different than 1985.
And you know how much music changes the feel of a movie. Like the opening credits for this movie are really dark. I was like, I'm expecting like a full on American Werewolf like horror movie from these credits.
You're just getting breath. You're just getting him breathing, and you realize like it cuts to Michael J. Fox all sweaty, working out, basically like getting ready, like trying to train for his basketball game.
And but I feel like this movie deserves the 80s animation credits. Like,
yes.
Give me some Savage Steve Holland, like Better Off Dead kind of credits. Like, that's what
absolutely.
I expect.
Absolutely. I want goofy movie. The mannequin, like, like, I think of that cartoon sequence. Like, I want
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I, my very first boy that I ever put up on my wall, and I have had many boys pinned up on my wall, was Michael J.
Fox. Tell me more.
Michael J. Fox was my very first crush. So I was very, very happy to see him in this movie. I was 6 years old when this came out, and I was so happy to see him on screen being adorable.
I think we were all in love with him. I mean, this is like the height of Michael J. Fox. This is like, you know, he's our Back to the Future. He's Alex P. Keaton on, you know, one of the biggest TV shows of the time, you know. So it's just like he was the creme de la creme. This was the boy. And there's just something about his little charmingness, but he was so tiny. Like watching this movie now, I'm like, oh my God, no wonder we loved him as children, because we were all looking up like he was like, you know, felt like strangely attainable, you know, in your like 6-year old brain where you're just like, oh my gosh. Exactly. Like you were already planning your wedding with him because he seems like just the nicest guy. So,
and he's so incredibly wholesome. But I think we should, do you think we should do a little side by side? How do you feel like we should do this?
Because, yeah,
like,
we can talk. Yeah.
These movies are so similar that it seems silly.
It's almost beat for beat. Yeah. I think we can talk about that. So, okay. Beginning of Teen Witch.
Teen Witch, which was made in 1989. So this is basically girl version of Teen Wolf, right? And is meant to be so. The tagline for that movie is, "To her, trouble comes supernaturally." So this was written by Robin Minkin, directed by Dorian Walker, and also written by Vernon Zimmerman, who is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Who did Fade to Black. So this is kind of a strange, I'm like, he directed Fade to Black and Teen Witch? He wrote Teen Witch? What?
But also iconic movies of our childhood. What?
For sure. So this movie, we have alternate universe casting for that one where it could have been Debbie Gibson.
Which is like, that would have been
perfect. And then she could actually have musical numbers. So something that's a little bit different is that Teen Witch is a musical. Like they really break into musical numbers. It's not like you have it, like they have choreographed dance numbers in Teen Wolf at dances and stuff. But this is like breaking into song.
Yeah.
Like you're in a musical. So it's a total, and I appreciate that because, you know, horror and musicals are my two favorite genres. So smashed up, delicious.
Give it to us. And it starts off with the most 80s intro, though. And I was like, a stark contrast to the Teen Wolf of, you get like sexy 80s saxophone. Yeah. And we love it. And a Lady in Red kind of moment where she's like, but it's like definitely a dream sequence. So, but we meet her in real life when she wakes up from her life and she is a dorky dork, sweet, wholesome.
She looks so beautiful in like the tight, beautiful outfit, and her hair's all big and the makeup's all perfect. And she's like,
all 80s. She's like Jem. Like,
yeah. Video vixen completely. And then Robin Lively's so adorable. I ran into her once at a Savers, and she was behind me, and I was like, oh, you're Teen Witch. And she was like, yeah. And she looked, I think she was embarrassed she'd been recognized in like a Savers, but I like, there's no
shouldn't.
No,
we loved. Thrift store queens for sure. Sustainability queens. Yes, please. Like, please buy secondhand. There's too many firsthand things on the planet already. And I love her. And she's been around forever, though, too. Like, this, you got to understand, for her, she's also like, she was in the original, like Punky Brewster. She's like in the first like three episodes. Like, she was like a stalwart of TV and movies from the 80s and pretty much everything. She's in Dreamy Little Dream, too. So she worked with the Gorys. Like,
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it came out the same year around this time as well. So she's iconic. She's also, you know, our delightful Blake Lively's big sister. Right. So there and her brother Eric Lively, who I was friends with back in the day as well too. So it's
we know everybody basically is
well, you know, degrees of separation. We've lived in Hollywood a long ass time now, Julia. That's part of it. So
that's true.
But they're, you know, a dynasty of a family. So they've been around in the business a long time is all I'm saying. So she, you know, this is kind of a moment. I wanted to be her so badly watching all these. I bought these outfits that look like this because she wore them in this movie. Like that little jean skirt, the little like, you know, ruffles. Whatever, little ruffle skirt and everything, which is kind of back right now. Anyway.
Yeah. She was definitely who I wanted to be as a little kid. So we have a bit of a different dynamic in that Teen Witch. We have wacky best friend is Polly. Mm-hmm. And then we have the boy that she lusts after who is unattainable. Right. And then we flip it to Teen Wolf and we have Styles, who is out of the quirky best friend genre, one of my very favorites. Like he isn't in this movie very much, but I want him to be in it more. Like he enjoys every scene that he's in. And then we have Boof, who is the girl who is completely attainable that he is not interested in at all.
Yeah. So he's got the girl who clearly is pining for him, for Teen Wolf. And she's so adorable. She's so cute. She's giving that like Phoebe Cates kind of like energy a little bit. Like she's got that wholesome, like doe-eyed beautifulness and cute little bob. And I feel like, you know, like all, I feel like all the ice skater girls like from that era, like it's got that little like, you know, that little,
goodness. Michelle Meinrich from Real Genius. Yes. Also as well has that exact same, same haircut. So we have the basketball is we have the Beavers and Teen Wolf, and they are a terrible basketball team. It seems unlikely this movie has a basketball subplot because I don't feel like it feels so weirdly shoehorned in, but it's such a central part of the film as well.
It's a very 80s device, I feel like, of that thing of like, we want to show how his body changes. So what's the best way to show that he's actually good at like physical things now? Will we show him being in a group called the Beavers and being a terrible team to like, oh my God, when you add a wolf to these Beavers, they're going to all of a sudden kill, literally, right? So...
Wolf to the Beavers, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you
do. As you do. So we see them lose terribly. Like it was like a 71-12 game that they like lose terribly. And you get that he's sick of being average. He's sick of being the small guy. He clearly has the hots for this hot girl, Pamela, who's, you know, the blonde bombshell of the movie.
Laurie Griffin, given blonde bitch so hard.
So hard. She's such a bitch. And I just hate her so much in this movie. She's so mean. But also, like, he just wants her. And you're like, dude, you have this nice, beautiful girl who loves you right here. But they've been friends since childhood, and he just can't see it. So he's friend-zoned her. But Styles is cool. Like, he does things like going urban surfing, where he jumps on top of his van and, like, you know, rides the urban wave, so to speak, which means he's just standing on top while his friend, while Scott, our little Teen Wolf, drives around. But he starts changing.
Mm-hmm. It's the thought of the copycat bit of that bit of this movie. I'm like, I don't know if that was a good idea, because there's got to be kids who tried it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there was some issues around the country of kids jumping up on top of and doing this, but I'm sure they were already doing it. So, you know.
The idea had to have come from somewhere. Right?
Yeah. But nothing new.
Scott is noticing some changes and things are going strangely. He doesn't know why his hands get hairy. They're trying to buy a keg for a party, and his eyes go red, and he's like starting to change, and he's trying to tell his friends about it, and nobody's really paying attention to him.
Yeah, because it's Scott, and he's like the most unassuming little sweet little person, and they're like, I don't get it, like, we're all going through changes, dude, like, it's puberty, like, life is weird, like, you know, we've all gone through stuff. But his ears pop up like a little elf in one moment, where you're like, oh, he's got these like little pointy elven looking ears. And so he's like, Dad, he's in the bathroom and shit's going crazy, he's turning. And his dad's like, let me in, son. Like, believe me, I might be able to understand what's going on. And he got this sweet Papa. And Papa finally opens the door.
He's Papa Wolf. He's so cute.
The cutest werewolf you ever did see.
It is. It is so cute. It's like, I want to marry this werewolf with Dee Wallace at the end of The Howling. Like, her little cute werewolf face. It's so cute. This is, and I know that In the screening that I went to when I saw it at the theater when I was a kid, the theater went nuts when this moment happened. Like, they were just so incredibly into it.
It's the moment I remember the most, because it's just that look on his face, because he's just such a regular guy.
Because he owns a hardware store.
To be a werewolf, yes.
And the idea of werewolves just living in society normally and hiding it, I think, is interesting, because, you know, we have in Teen Witch, where she has this, but why her, right? Like, mm-hmm. They don't make the deal about, oh, it's a family trait. Oh, it's something that she inherited. They don't really, mm-hmm. It's just like a past life kind of thing.
Well, yeah, it's a past life, because she looks exactly like the person that she's like reincarnated as, essentially, because we find our little Zelda, who I love, Madame Serena, who I adore from Poltergeist and so many wonderful scary things. And also like the organist from freaking Pretty in Pink. Was that it? That's the one, right?
Sixteen Candles.
Sorry, Molly Ringwald. The other one. But she's so fabulous. And so they, you know, find each other again, essentially, as things start going a little weird for our little Louise, our little teen witch, as she's, you know, noticing changes and like feeling kind of weird. But things are kind of magically happening for her. And all of a sudden she gets this like necklace that's lands on her, and all of a sudden her drama teacher hands to her is like, you're not going to get the part in the play, kid, because you're not, you know, you're not zapping on stage, but you know, remind me of me kind of thing. I was like, I felt like she would have given her the part because she reminded her of her a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the logic for that was a little bit different, but she does give her this amulet that all of a sudden makes things happen when she touches it.
Yeah. It's the kind of powers that every teenage girl wants. But in my opinion, Terry, the MVP of Teen Witch is Josh Biller as her little brother, Richie, because I love everything he does in this movie. I like everything he does delights me. Like, he comes on screen and I get this big smile on my face. He's so amazing.
He's my least favorite thing in the movie. Really? It makes me so angry. It's so funny. I love you so much. We are like literally watching the same thing, but like from the opposite end on this one. I am disgusted by him. Like,
you're supposed to be.
I know. He's so... And it doesn't delight me disgust. I'm just like, get him. It's like makes me like physically just uncomfortable because he's just like, he seems like a reincarnate. Like, I know they end up making him like a dog, but I feel like he's like a reincarnated rat. Like, it reminds me of, okay. Sidebar from the 80s. My brain goes to the fairy tale theater, Shelley Duvall's fairy tale theater, mm-hmm. The Cinderella. When she turns those little guys into the rats, he reminds me of those rat guys. And I'm just
he's
the fucking coachman. I don't like it. There's something about him that's so ratty, but he's also the guy that you love from Near Dark.
Yes.
In
Near Dark and River's Edge. And like, that's his specialty. To play
I love kind him in of those like movies, but this disgusting. One, I'm just like, what is he doing with the pizza? Like, what is he even making in that scene?
Know. It's he's just so like gross. Eating chocolate cake with his hands under her bed. Like, it's the most repulsive stuff. And I love it because think about all the bland white bread kids they could have got to play that role.
Yeah.
And then they got him, who just elevates it to this whole other level. Like, to me, he's in a better movie than this.
He's giving a whole nother thing. He's like this feral, like just like rabid little person.
I just want a spinoff. I just want a Richie spinoff. What a fantastic character. The thing is that basically these movies are kind of the exact same movie, more or less, just kind of trying to be as, we're not Teen Wolf, but we're kind of Teen Wolf.
Similar thing is it's the trope. I think we talked about this like with Ginger Snaps and stuff too, of just like, you know, of that was a Teen Wolf too, a girl Teen Wolf, right? Or, you know, going through those changes where it's like, it's that puberty, it's going through changes, it's like finding out who you are. I think both of them are also just kind of about like, hey, like, you get all this magic, too much, you know, as they say, and I think both of them in some kind of way or shape or form, to whom much is given, much is required. Like, it's a big responsibility to have this extra power. So I think all of us as humans, we have this power to either like accept people or accept ourselves or not, right? And if we can't accept ourselves as we are, then we're going to have trouble. And that's what they both kind of go into, right? So
sure. I think Teen Witch has a little bit of Can't Buy Me Love thrown in there as well.
Yes.
Right? Where it's just like, you think you want to be popular and you think that that's going to make you happy, and actually it's going to make you even more disenchanted than you already are.
Well, Teen Wolf does the same thing where he like is like, I don't want to use the powers anymore. I want to be myself. And I also like was a kind of an asshole to my friends and like was just like trying to like to Boof, especially like where he just pushes her away. Boof is essentially like the Polly. Like, she's more the closer friend than Styles almost. Styles is almost the top that guy.
Yeah, he is. And like, so the thing about Styles is like, I don't think you could ever get close to Styles. Styles has no interest in having an actual real human conversation with you. He just wants to can we just talk about the party scene in Teen Wolf where they're having, I mean, this is ultimate, like, I think about this, I think about like Weird Science or 16 Candles as the kind of 80s party scene insanity. And like the fact that all these kids are into these games and that this is the kind of like raucous, horny kind of party you have in high school. Unbelievable. You have kids wrestling in whipped cream, switching clothes, eating Jell-O out of shirts. Like, it's getting nuts.
Oh yeah. And sending them into heaven, you know, which is the closet to go make out or whatever. There's a lot going on in this house party, and it feels like, you know, when you're in a place where there's not a lot of things. You grew up in Vegas. You didn't get this, Julia. Okay. I grew up in a smaller town where it's like, you know, there was no mall. There's no movie theater. There's no place to go after like, you know, 5 o'clock. So like there wasn't as much to do that you didn't. If you didn't have a car, like, you were kind of just like landlocked into like, if you're at a house party like this, you have to make your own fun. So that's why these parties existed in these places where it's just like, you're in the middle of nowhere. and like you can't go to the Vegas Strip to go see some shit. You actually have to like make your own Vegas Strip at your house, essentially, right? And so it's like, this is what you have access to. What do we got a lot of? Jell-O. Throw it down that girl's shirt. Eat it. It's just like, and like, you know.
and then, you know, sometimes I think about it being so incredibly like, this is would never, ever happen. But I did have go to a party in high school where a girl got a kiddie pool, filled it with mud, and there were girls bikini mud wrestling at that party. So I was like, okay, that's not that far off. That really happened. Like, that was there.
Amazing.
Las Vegas, man, you know.
Y'all, of course he had a mud wrestling party in Vegas. I am obsessed. So great. So yeah, so we're also going to have like a big school dance moment, because that's like a cardinal rule for all the 80s movies as well, too. And, you know, a big whip to do. So, you know.
Can we bring up in this school dance scene when Teen Witch, she gets roped into taking David, the cousin of the hot girl, to the dance. We open the door to, in my opinion, a super hot dork. Like, he's got a pompadour, he's got cute glasses. Like, I'm into it. He turns out to be kind of a dick, so I'm not into that. But she looks horrified, right? She's got to go out this nerd, and it's clearly a hot guy playing a nerd, and she's like trying to get rid of him. And as they're driving away from the dance, and he keeps trying to get on her, she says that she wishes he would leave her alone, get out, go away, whatever it was, and he disappears, and we never see him again for the rest of the movie.
They never address it either. They're just like, oh yeah, she's like, I told him to get lost, and he did.
Where did he go? She just like sent him to another universe, and like never really mentioning it. It's just like off.
I'm sure
it
wore off at some point, because like Madame Serena said, like, her magic wears off eventually, you know, because it's still newish. So I'm sure the spell eventually, you know.
No, I like to think of him gone forever. That she, this is part of like, well, Louise is just a terrible murderer, and we never get into that in the part of this movie. I would like to add a little more depth to this.
No, yeah, I don't know. Okay, he's in the ether somewhere.
So things are going to start to go real wrong for our friend Scott and Teen Wolf, because the vice principal, Mr. Thorne, knows something's up, because he decides to just go to school as a werewolf, and people are into it. Pamela especially is like super hot, furry into it. Styles is like, I can make money off this shit immediately. But I like that he lives in a world where, because Louise hides her powers throughout the whole movie, and this was something like, he can't hide this.
No.
And he takes his chance to go out, and everybody loves it for the most part. There's like the one dick guy, Mick, who doesn't like it, but everybody else is into it. And I have to say, if a guy turned up as a werewolf to my high school, people would have loved it. I went to a performing arts high school. It would have been like,
oh yeah,
best.
People would have been obsessed. Yeah. I feel like, you know, the way, well, also he's got like a confidence about him that happens when he's the wolf that he doesn't have when he's Scott, that like changes him. And so there's something about his swagger. You're like, oh yeah. And like, he just goes about the world. Even the vice principal's kind of like, dude, no, not on my watch. Like, why are you being so like, he's like, nah, I got this now. And he, you know, just exudes confidence. So,
well, superpowers seem to do that, right? They give you your superpowers and you feel pretty good. But how is it going to go wrong? So you mentioned very briefly the top that guys in Teen Witch. So there are these guys. It's so cringy. These three white guys who are trying to rap, and it's some of the worst rap I've heard in cinema. I think the worst rap still goes to the movie Rappin', which really does have the worst rapping I've
it
ever
is
seen.
Bad kids.
It's bad.
I mean, do yourself a favor. If you want a fun, stupid movie night, throw it on. I mean, like, and have like, you know, your drinks and whatever else you got for your entertainment. But it is pretty, pretty bad. But you know, honestly,
rapping and have that level of rapping. It's so embarrassing.
You know what? That's the thing. When Hollywood tries to cop on a cool fad, but they don't understand it, and they don't actually get any proper consultants for it, or they just hire all the wrong people, or they try to make it accessible, and so they actually take the soul completely out of it. Yeah. Not that that happens ever.
No. But I'm thinking it's something like Rad, right? It takes the BMX trend, but actually...
No, but
like-
if you BMX...
No, I know, but they had all of the guys there, right? They have all of the actual BMX guys in that movie. This has, anyway, the rapping in this movie is appalling. It's embarrassing. It makes me cringe. And yet the best scene and the title of this episode for a reason, Polly has a crush on the guy because look at how funky he is.
I can never be that funky. I love her so much. She's so
anybody
cute.
Could be that funky. Like my mom could be that funky, you know, it's like that's a low level of funk.
We could all be that funky. Like I could argue that everybody is funkier than this guy, but I love him. So I had such a crush. Like my, like
did
watching
you?
This, oh my God. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I told you I have, my taste is very questionable. And like, holy shit. I was like, wow, I loved him. And I was like, I want to be her. I want to be all of them. I want to make out with this guy. Love it. Was into it.
Not, no, and so she gives Polly the power to go and have a rap battle. I don't really give a about trying to top that.
Top that, top that.
It's
supersonic, idiotic. Okay, sorry. oh man,
I do want Polly to get a bit of a glow up in this movie, which she doesn't get because they really dress Robin Lively down for a lot of this movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once she becomes the Teen Witch and wants to become popular, she gets the local rock star to give her jacket, which she never wears.
Like, no, but she needs it for the spell. So she probably might have disintegrated maybe in the spell. I don't know.
So she becomes super hot girl version of herself and is prancing around in her tight outfits. And now this Teen Witch lives in a very strange world that I don't quite understand. Where like they have posters of Louise's name just post all over the high school, which I'm not really clear about. They're just like, Louise, this is how far it goes to this level
of
absurdity.
Because the spell, yeah. Well, it's the spell that she does. She's like, and even like Serena's like, it's going to take a lot of people. So basically she gets all of them to think she's popular because she doesn't want to just make Brad, the hot guy, fall in love with her, powers. She actually just wants him to, she finds out what he values. And so she makes herself that, what he values, which is popularity. And so all of a sudden, though, it does go out of control. I think this is like the spell going fucked up because all of a sudden everyone looks like her. They're all dressing like her. They're all copying her. And as Polly says, they copy you. And then, you know, first they like, and then they envy you and then they destroy you and discard you. And so it's just like, oh, okay. That is kind of the cycle of like fame, right?
Sure.
And so she's in the middle of it. And she's like, oh shit, we are in that, like they're copying me phase after they've envied me, you know? I think that she gets the ride is probably going to be over, right?
But, you know, she wants is Brad to fall in love with her. But then also when she gets the moment to put the spell on him, she decides not to because she wants him to love her for her and not because of the spell, which is the exact same with the popularity, right? She doesn't want him to fall in love with him because she's popular, but because she likes him. Mm-hmm. But he says the same. He feels the same way about himself. He's like, I've been team captain of football for my, you know, since sixth grade. And I don't know who my real friends are because people just want to be my friend because I'm popular. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think, you know, popular kids always get a really bad rap, right? Because like mm-hmm. everybody hates the popular kids. But then you think about the price of popularity on that side as well, which I think, you know, Teen Witch makes you look at, Can't Buy Me Love makes you look at, you go, okay, maybe it's not that fun. Maybe it's just this pressure. Like Heather's, she's like, I just have to do these things. I have to be this person to fit in.
Well, once you like have gotten your spot sustained in the social order, you do everything you can to maintain it, even if it's not great. I think that thinking back to American Psycho again now too, we just covered, it's like that same kind of vibe of like everyone's got like these boxes and these things that they have to check, and like everyone's checking the boxes, but no one's happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we have now that Teen Wolf has become such a phenomenon. He's starting to play basketball. Everyone loves him. The town's insane. And he's living his life, but he's not being the true to himself. And so he has to, he and Boof had a moment in that closet, but he had scratched her really badly. And like, she keeps trying to
but
tell
she
him.
Kinda
she
kind of liked it.
A little. Mm-hmm. But she, you know, he's not looking at what's right in front of him, right? And so he gets to this point where he decides he does have sex with Pamela in wolf form. In the
that's all she
room.
Wants. She doesn't want him in regular form. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay. And then she discards him immediately. You get what you want with the wolf form, and then you get your heart crushed right away. So now he decides he doesn't want to be this anymore. Same with Louise, doesn't want to be popular anymore. So they have to have that introspective moment. But what do they really want? Who are they really?
And so they let go of their magic in a way, but they are still magic inside because they realize it's not about the magic. It's about loving who you are inside, right?
The real magic is believing in yourself. And if you can do that, you can make anything happen. There you go, kids.
There you are.
There's your after school special moral in the heart of these movies.
Just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Like Whitney Houston. Like,
yeah. It makes me prickle.
The greatest love of all.
But I think it makes me prickle because it's true and it's so cheesy and it's true. And I'm like,
it's upsetting.
It's true.
It is upsetting. But it is true. And that's the universal thing, no matter if you're popular or not popular, wherever you fall on the spectrum of life. Like if you, you know, got to find that thing within yourself that you get to be okay with. And that's our life's work, right? Is trying to figure that out. And these movies, I think, were seminal for that for a lot of us. This was our touchstone as kids, you know. Sure. It's like this was, you know, part of that oeuvre. And so,
Know, Teen Wolf, as you know, silly and surface as it is, can also be good metaphors, right? It can be coming out of the closet and like you're coming out of school and this embarrassment of like showing everyone who you really are and are people going to accept it? And it is kind of this
and the people
fantasy.
Who fetishize it and stuff too.
Sure.
Yeah.
And but it is this fantasy world of like, I come out as a werewolf and we're not living in a world where people freak out about it, except for the vice principal. Everybody else is fine.
Yeah.
And we also like, we don't ever get like the news around the world of being like, hey, there's fucking werewolves playing basketball over here. Like that's not discussed, touched on in this movie at all.
No, just more people show up at the games. Like it's like publicity for them, essentially, right? And it's like, okay, this is great. But he also does like that showboating thing where he's surfing and like, you know, doing all these extra things. And so it's like, you know, his dad's like, you don't have to do all of that to make people like you, essentially, right? It's like you could just live, you know, a normal life and not have to be this extraordinary thing. And also you do wonder if people like you for you or the wolf now, right?
And we do get a moment where Mick, who is the bad guy and Pamela's boyfriend, says that he shot Scott's mom with a shotgun for stealing chickens out of his yard. And so then I'm like, oh, is his mom also a werewolf?
And it's never explained. And she's gone.
And she's gone. So I'm like, did a werewolf marry a werewolf? Or did a werewolf marry a regular person and he somehow turned her into a werewolf? And then they had a kid?
And then I was like, is she Bella?
Is she just a human stealing chickens? And is he lying? Like, because we never really know anything else about his mom.
If she was getting food for the husband, like if she getting the chickens to feed her husband because maybe he needs to feed. Because they don't talk about what they eat as the werewolf either. Like, I was like, oh, well, I guess he eats normal food because he's like eating with his family. But also like, does he need to kill?
Yeah, it's a very dark kind of moment that gets glossed over very hard. Like, I don't
never
know
explained.
What that means. No. Where did the mom go? What all happened? We don't know. We don't have time for those kind of questions. Come on.
No.
We got Boof to deal with. So there's the big show, but a game where he decides he's going to play as himself and it's all going terribly wrong until he can find the fire within to do it as Scott. And we can win in the end. And they got the 80s soundtrack going on.
The weirdest songs in this movie.
Well, and I mean, but that being said, Teen Witch's songs also dubious because we mentioned this is a musical. So there are several numbers where people are singing and dancing. In the locker room, there's a song and dance number.
Red Hot Lover.
Right.
Yes.
So they're living in a whole different fantasy world where people like break into song and this is the whole thing. So
never gonna be the same again. Never gonna be the same again. Oh, never gonna be.
Nothing delights me more than we should go online because I'm sure somebody has the 80s high school dance supercut because there are so many. And if there's not a choreographed dance number, what are you doing? Right? Like, that's gotta be.
Did you even make a movie if you didn't have a choreographed dance? Did you even make a movie? No.
Yeah.
No.
So the movie's endings to me are both kind of strange. So Scott and Boof end up together, which is great. Then we have Louise ends up with her boy, Brad, who finally like loves her for who she really is. And she decides she doesn't want to be a witch anymore and she takes her necklace off. And I'm confused by that ending. I don't know how to feel about that ending. Because like, I think she can
still be a witch, right? But she just doesn't want to like use her powers for like nefarious things anymore. She wants real life instead of magical life, which seems silly.
I'm not really sure why Brad likes her. What is besides her like hot girl makeover, what does he see in her?
Because she liked him for him the whole time and not his like persona, I guess.
I don't know. She was there.
But it seemed like she did.
she was creeping on him at football practice to watch him like do his workout. Like, it seems like she's into him physically.
He was hot.
Like,
yeah.
And there's nothing that they give us in that movie to make us think that Brad is anything more than just a hot guy. Right?
They make him like, just look like a video, like video guy, like a hot guy from your music video. Like, that's exactly kind of what they have him being the whole time.
Like,
even when they're in the jeans, when they're in that abandoned house and they're like both posing like jeans models. I was like, what is going on in this scene?
Music video. Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, MTV is influencing everything. But I don't, if they had given me a scene where Brad had shown me part of himself, right? Which I don't think the only thing we ever get is him like making out. Like, and he has the one moment where he's like, I don't know how people feel about me because I'm popular, but give me something where like they have a connection about something.
We don't get the Can't Buy Me Love, Broken Moon scene, basically, right? We don't get that. Like, that's what we're missing from this. Like, we don't, you're right. But similar, even on, honestly, with Teen Wolf, we also don't really get like, I mean, we understand Boof more because they make her more like more sympathetic as a character, but we still don't really get like a, I don't know. We get a little bit, we get more, but I want
Scott and Boof to be together.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't really know how I feel about Louise and Brad.
Yeah, I don't think they, I think she just should be herself.
I don't,
but it's the 80s and we have to give her a guy, you know?
Oh, I understand that, but I don't really know who herself is. And I don't think she does. I don't feel like we ever, I don't feel like she ever really learns who she is in the movie, because we have her as the dorky and then you have her as the hot girl. And she realizes that like Polly, she's left Polly behind and she's turning into a terrible person and she doesn't want to be a witch to exploit herself. But then like, then what? What happens after this movie?
I don't know. They won't let her be a good witch because we're in this era. I feel like this is something we should ask our friend Heather Green, who we had on, who talked about the witches, the history of witches, and has written a book on witches. I feel like there's like that. There's parts of cinema where this is right before we're going to get into the craft, like 5 years later.
Sure.
Right. And when that's when I feel like we get a bigger turn where we're OK with truly OK with that kind of thing. And Sabrina the Teenage Witch and all that stuff from the 90s that really like kind of takes hold. Where we don't have that in the 80s, this is like that tail end where it's still bad. We don't have witches in the same way quite yet.
Well, I mean, you already had Bewitched. I mean, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was a comic book forever. So
right.
I think they are out there, but I think that this is...
But not in cinema that way, yeah.
No, and I think like Teen Witch doesn't have any... there's nothing beyond just being a kind of surface level teenage movie. Right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think like it does kind of talk about social issues in a way, but it's so lighthearted and kind of feathery that it doesn't hit the same way. I feel like Teen Wolf is able to hit those beats a little harder.
Yeah, for sure. A little more writing, I feel like, done on that one. So,
basically if I could have my way though, it's a spinoff about Styles. And then it's a spinoff about Richie. And like, those are the movies I'd rather see.
Well, I want to see Polly and her rap career and what happens if she, you know, ends up like with this guy. So I think that that's my spinoff. So yay.
I would watch it totally.
Top that.
So, I don't know how to choose between these really. I feel like they're kind of the same film, but they both give me joy. And I don't want to downplay these movies at all because I love 80s teen movies more than anything. And they both give me so much joy as a child. But this is the job to kind of break them down detail by detail, right? And you look at it as like compared to American Psycho, you're like, well, this is not the kind of, you know, like
cinema's in a different place there. And that's a different audience, you know, the teen audience and the kid audience, whatever this was for. Teen Wolf was such a family movie and such a stalwart of the 80s. And Teen Witch was like, I feel like all of us watched this thing as well. Dear God.
Let's do some gore factor.
Yeah. Let's
I would ask how to survive these movies, but we don't really have any deaths and they're questionable to be on a horror podcast, to be honest, but you know, they're movies that we love. They're horror comedies.
We did them anyway. We did them anyway.
Hey, don't tell us what to do. We'll do what we want.
We got a witch and a wolf here. What do you mean?
So I'm going to do gore factor. So one is not enough blood to fill the Dixie cup. Two is a puddle of blood. Three is enough blood to gross out the average viewer. Four is a bathtub of blood. Five is run for the barf bag. So for Teen Wolf, We got a 1 only because the transformation is a little
yeah, you gross. Get the nails, a little bit of the stuff like that, but other than that, you know, it's not American Werewolf scary, and it's not The Howling by any means, but you know.
No, definitely not. And then for Teen Witch, we just got a 0.
Yeah. There is no gore.
There's nothing.
Nothing. It's mostly sexy standing and walking and cute heels and little ruffle skirts.
And I want that big hair so bad. It's so big. It's so beautiful.
It's so Tawny Catane. It's so 80s video vixen. It's so good. I was so obsessed and I wanted to be Robin Lyley so bad. We love you. Sorry if Julia bothered you in Savers, but we are obsessed with you and we love you.
I didn't bother her. I just excited.
Yeah. If she was sad at all, but for any reason, like, you're amazing. We love you, Robin. We love a sustainability thrifty queen. Movie ratings, chainsaws. 1, if you're desperate. 2, barely qualifies as a horror film. 3, seen worse, seen better. 4, not too shabby. 5, fantastic-orical. Well, we did kind of just give the caveat that they're not really horror, but they are.
Yeah. So we're just judging them as movies then, I guess.
Okay.
And enjoyment level, right? That's also part of it.
So I've been on the 4 train. I feel like it's 4s for me on these because the nostalgia just made me. I mean, if you haven't seen these, I'm curious to hear from people who have never seen these as children what they feel about these movies, because I'm sure you're going to have a very different thing. But it just made me, they just felt like visiting old friends is what it felt like.
Agreed. I gave Teen Witch a 4 and Teen mm-hmm. Wolf a 5 because mm-hmm. I feel like Teen Wolf does what Teen Witch is trying to do just a little bit better. But I appreciate that there's the girl version, right? It's just like, I don't know if you've ever seen, because, you know, we all love Hairspray, but there's the boy version, the mm-hmm. In Crowd with Donovan Leitch, which is almost the exact same movie.
Yes.
And I am so incredibly hot for him. So I appreciate when there's the you can watch the girl version or the boy version. That makes me very happy.
Or just, you know, different versions of a similar growing up story. I love Donovan Leitch so much. Oh, my God. Ugh. I got to hold his hand once at a concert, like from the stage. He's so cute.
You remember my embarrassing Donovan Leitch story at the New Beverly, where I did for my birthday, I did a double feature of The Blob and The In Crowd. And he came and we were going to introduce the movie before. And he came up and he kissed me on the cheek and I blanked. I have never blanked like that in my entire life. Like, nothing. I had nothing. The whole audience started to laugh because I went so incredibly blank. And I was just like, okay, we'll see you after for a Q&A. I had nothing.
He blanked my brain. I love you so much. That's so cute. That's so cute.
From him kissing me on the cheek.
I get it. That was like me after meeting J.C. Chazet. I lost my mind from and seeing he's my guy. And I was like, rendered just like, done.
Where did my brain go in those moments? I don't understand. It was just not there.
It's okay. We love you guys. We love these guys. And we love you, our listeners, just as much. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you've had a wonderful spooky season and wishing you, you know, just a wonderful fall. You can find us all over the internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also support us if you'd like. We're an independently produced show. We're just out here doing it for ourselves, hoping that it hits and resonates with all you beautiful folks. You can also buy some merch at our Teespring store. We'd be happy to have that. And Julia, I love you.
I love you too. Best friends forever. And we hope that you have all the Halloween delights. I hope you get candy. I hope you have awesome costume. I hope all of it for you. We love you, listeners. We'll talk to you very soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Horror Movie Survival Guide is independently produced by Terry Gamble, Julia Marchesi, and Sierra Ryan. Hey, that's me. If you would like to support the show, find us on patreon.com/horrormoviesurvivalguide.